Welcome to the Difference Radio Network, brought to you by thedifference.tv, where you can join us in opening humanity's heart and touching the lives of 6 billion people.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Janetta Haim on the Difference Radio Network from Beyond the Heart, broadcasting to you from Sydney, Australia at 3 p.m. on this Saturday afternoon. I hope you've had a good afternoon up till now. Today, our show is entitled Stress-Free Living. And given the name of my clinic, which is Stress-Free Management, it would be very unwise of me to do any type of shows without addressing the issue of stress, which is so important, of course, in today's society. So today we're going to go a little bit beyond stress, hopefully giving you lots and lots of tips of how you can handle your stress, your anxiety and your depression, if you do have any depression at all. And of course, I need to say that depression comes from a suppression. So we're going to have a look at those suppressions that you have in your life and hopefully give you some tips to eliminate some of them. Now, stress, of course, is a very, very big key word in today's society. We live in a society where we talk about crises and issues and things get blown out of proportion very, very easily. And we all know or have some semblance of group opinion of what we mean when we talk about stress. So let's first have a look at the physical body, at what happens when we are stressed. And you could all probably give me 100 answers here, but for the benefits of the people listening in today, let's just enumerate some of the things that are caused by stress so that people who are having some of these symptoms and are thinking that they are ill, in inverted commas, because after all, stress is an illness, would be able to perhaps give some diagnoses to their illness by saying that they are stressed and they are suffering from stress and anxiety. First of all, the pituitary gland in the brain transmits to the adrenal glands when you're stressed out. And the very first sign can sometimes be seen in the pupils, where the pupils dilate. Then you know when you're feeling stressed and your mouth becomes very, very dry, your salivary glands stop working, and you may even begin to sweat because the temperature may fall in your body. Breathing, for sure, becomes faster and shallower, and your heartbeat rises. It can rise by as much as 100% to increase the blood supply to other areas of your body. Sugar begins to be released from the liver and you begin to produce cholesterol. So all you people out there who are thinking, wow, I'm eating right, why is my cholesterol level so high, need to take a look at your stress levels, because cholesterol is precipitated by moments of high stress. The anxiety feeds back to the brain and you begin to release fat for energy. Wow, what a way to put on weight, hey? Look, over a period of time, if you're living a very, very stressful life and you are stressed out, you're going to be building in those fat cells. Your digestion slows down so that or even closes down, which means that you're not eliminating, you're not digesting. And of course, all those toxins that are in your body are staying in there longer. And your adrenal glands release hormones, your muscles tense, and you release lactic acid into the bloodstream, which increases your anxiety. You may find your fists clench, your face goes red. Now, let's just add all these symptoms up, and you could think that you're very, very ill. And some people do become very ill. Did you know that panic attacks, 1 in 4 people in our society suffer from panic attacks or have suffered from panic attacks at some time? What is a panic attack? Well, the very, very first time you have it, you get an awful shock because you would think perhaps you were having a heart attack. It is the most horrible feeling I've told, where people cannot breathe properly, they get palpitations, they feel sick, they feel as if they're going to faint. It's basically a complete shutting down to the body. And the reason it happens so frequently is because we quite often go into overwhelm. We take on so much. So things become too much for our system. We go into overwhelm. And before you know it, you have a reaction from the body, which is a stress reaction known as a panic attack. And I need to add here that panic attacks can be handled naturally. I have a number of clients that come to see me, and we handle their panic attacks through meditation, hypnosis. We look at changing the pattern. We look at changing their lifestyle. We put them on supplements which help with stress. There are supplements that help with depression. We put them on bark remedies. So there are a number of natural things you can do so that you do not have to suffer. And if you're not leaning towards, of course, taking drugs for your panic attacks. In the short term, if you're really, really overwhelmed, yes, it may be an idea to go to a doctor and get a prescription. But in the long term, you are the one that is responsible for your health, and you are the one that needs to learn how to handle your panic attacks, and it is possible. So that is something that you can take up with a natural practitioner. I've listed for you now, if you do get panic attacks, the avenues that are open to you: hypnotherapy, meditation, perhaps some supplements. I use vitamin B because that's my sort of stress-busting, in inverted commas, vitamin. You've got your natural supplements, your multivitamin. You've got bark remedies. Now, bark remedies are flower remedies. They will not harm you in any way. They're completely natural. And if you go to a practitioner, the practitioner can put up to 6 to 8 remedies into a bottle. I tend to use 30ml bottles. Some practitioners use larger bottles. And that remedy can be made up specifically to suit your needs. So if you're looking at a history of panic attacks, and I have had clients over the years, I remember one particular lady comes to mind. She'd had panic attacks for 15 years. Also, I need to mention, I'm actually very glad that this particular lady came to mind, because I have neglected to mention that you need to check your hormones. And that goes for people, not just females, it goes for males and females. Quite often I've noticed that people who have panic attacks and go into overwhelm, their hormones are most likely not functioning as well as they could be. So it's very, very important to check your hormones and get a natural practitioner to perhaps give you something that will give you some hormonal balance. For us females, it's a little bit easier to see where our hormones are at. If you're getting any of those PMT symptoms, if you're feeling bloated, if you're getting heavy periods, if you're getting pain, certainly, all these symptoms are symptoms that your hormones are acting up in some way. I need to say that over the years, we have come to perhaps accept this as the norm because we have just had so many women that have had this upset in their hormones around their period time, but it is not really the norm. And it needs to be investigated by a practitioner, a natural health practitioner. So we have looked at the physical symptoms of stress. And having said what these physical symptoms are, I need to go on to say now that stress is something that is inside, not outside. Now, you think about it. If you're driving along the road and it's 8 o'clock in the morning and you have a meeting to be at by 8:30 and you're on a motorway and it's chock-a-block with traffic and you're running late, the anxiety level, your stress levels could be way over the top. Big difference if it's a Monday morning and you're sitting in traffic and it's the first day of your holidays and you're meeting a friend at the beach and you may be running a little bit late, but it's very, very different. You pick up the phone and you say, "Judy, I'm really sorry. I got a late start today. I'm in bumper-to-bumper traffic. I won't be there for another half an hour. It's very, very different scenario, very, very different to your stress levels. The only thing that is different is inside you and where you're going. This traffic may not be any different. So that traffic that we keep blaming for our stress levels, it's not really the traffic. It's the way we look at it and our schedules and the fact that our schedules are packed too tightly and we're trying to put too much into our day. And then we wonder why we're going into overwhelm. This fast pace of life that we live, which is, after all, our choice. Some of you may be thinking, well, how can it be my choice? I have deadlines. I have management on my head. I may have, if I'm studying, I have a deadline with an assignment due. It is still our choice because it is up to us how we pace ourselves in life. It is up to us what we do with our time and how we spend our time and who we spend it with. So ultimately, it is our choice. If we are stressed out by our jobs, it is our choice as to whether we are working there or whether we find alternative employ, which will perhaps give us more satisfaction. And it is only our fear of change and our fear of our lack of confidence in ourselves that sometimes holds us back from moving on from those situations which are causing stress in our lives. So this is something that we really, really need to look at. Where is that stress coming from and what can I do to change it? And not to perhaps depend on other people to change it. Your partner is not going to change unless they want to. Your boss is not going to change. Your environment is not going to change unless you get up and do something about it and change it. So now that I have enumerated all the symptoms of physical stress, let's talk about the emotional stresses that we have today, which I have touched on in terms of the way we feel, whether it be anxious, whether it be fearful, whether it be depressed, whether it be, as we said before, a panic attack, our feelings. Now, we have become very good in our society in pushing aside our feelings, in saying, well, we'll get on with it, we'll soldier on, and that is not always the case. And I also need to mention here negative thinking. When we think in a negative way about ourselves or others, all these things leave a mark somewhere in our psyche, in our psychological makeup. And that mark leaves another mark, and then another mark, and another mark. And before you know it, you have a pattern. You have a pattern of stress in your body. And the only one who can really undo that pattern is you yourself. Of course, you can have lots of help from all the different modalities that are out there. You can have massages. You can learn to meditate at a meditation course. There are many, many things you can do, but they are things that you have to do. Nobody else can force you to do it. So we need, I start with the physical when I talk about stress because we need to be feeling at least a little bit motivated and inclined to do something about it to get ourselves out of that stressful mode. And we can't really talk about the physical without talking about the food that we're putting in our body. In ancient Indian times, the food that we eat used to be divided, well, it still is, it's divided into three sections. And these are called sattva, rajas, and tamasic food. And these foods are given these categories because they have different effects on our body. The sattvic food is the food that is healthy, that is good for you. And underneath this banner, we have got things like fruits and vegetables and salads. And the reason it's called sattvic food is because of the effect that it has on the mind. When you have a light meal of these foods, they are easily digested and not as much blood runs to your stomach to digest the food, meaning there is more blood available for your brain, meaning that your brain will function with a greater clarity. Then there are what is known as the rajasic foods. Now, the rajasic foods are the foods that are spicy, all your spices, your curries, your chili, all that type of food, onions, garlic, that it is said in the Indian tradition that these foods have an effect on the body, that they make you racy. They make you out there in the world. They get you to be perhaps a little bit more outgoing and aggressive and assertive. And then there is the tamasic food. Now, the tamasic food are all the foods that have a heaviness to them. In other words, they have a not as much nutritional benefit. So you're looking at your heavy carbohydrates. You're looking at your pizza, your pasta. You're looking at your junk food. You're looking at meat in this category, because that is very heavy on the digestive system as well. So these are the foods that make you feel heavy when you eat them. Have a think about it. If you have a heavy meal of, say, your pizza and pasta and maybe a beer to go with it, you're not going to be wanting to do much head work after that, because you're going to feel like sleeping. So food has an effect on our body, and it cannot be discounted when we're talking about stress. And the reason it cannot be discounted is because it will affect the cells in your body, it will affect your weight, it will affect how you feel about yourself, whether you're feeling sleepy when you have to do that test or whether you're wide awake. I need to also say, include stimulants here, things like coffee and cigarettes, which are artificial stimulants in the sense that they might make you feel better for a very short time and then have a detrimental effect on your body. So the foods that we eat affect the way we feel and the way we think. And if we're constantly on a diet of what we commonly call junk food and heavy foods, and we're not eating our fruits and vegetables, and the body is not getting the correct nutrition, then we can expect to start to show signs of extra stress on the body physically, and that, of course, translates mentally and emotionally and down the line energetically, etc., etc. So we start with the physical, because the physical is something that you can easily do something about by changing your diet, by taking a multivitamin, by looking at your hormones, by taking some vitamin B for your stress levels, by taking some bark remedies, by taking perhaps some St. John's Wort Hypericum, which is a very good supplement, which we could, I suppose, call a natural antidepressant. I need to add here, though, if you are on antidepressants from the doctor, please do not just go out and buy willy-nilly your vitamins and your supplements, because they do have contraindications. And especially be careful with things like St. John's Wort, royal jelly, etc. Even ginseng, there are a lot of supplements out there that you really do need to know what you're using and why you're using them, and what, and your natural therapist needs to know what medication you are on, so that they can say to you, yes, this is the correct supplement for you, or no, it is not. Please do not take it at the moment. And for all these people that are managing their stress with drugs and antidepressants, I need to say that there is hope for you to come off those, and in unison with your doctor, your natural therapist can design a program for you where, as you are building your confidence and given new tools to handle your anxiety and depression, your doctor can look at lowering your medication, and you can supplement your diet with natural supplements that will help you to overcome your anxiety and depression, and in some way eventually perhaps come off the medication. But that is only a decision that a doctor and you can make. It is not a decision that can be made by a natural therapist, and it needs to be made with caution, because the body becomes used to the drugs that are in the body, and also the drugs quite often do help you get through your day and do help you form a more positive outlook onto life. And until you have got the right tools, until you've learned the right tools to handle your life in a different way, you perhaps need to take those. So that's something that needs to be said, that working in unison, your natural therapist with your doctor and yourself, then you can perhaps look at coming off medication, but not before. I'd now like to go on to something that is very, very important in de-stressing yourself, and that is the use of meditation. Now, meditation is a state of mind. We all say that we sit for meditation, and we all know, like the yogic type pose where your legs are crossed and you're looking very blissful, or you're sitting in a chair with your feet flat on the floor and you're looking very blissful. But this blissful look is the preparation for learning the tools for what is really a state of mind. And meditation, the purpose of meditation is that it be taken into your daily life. Now, whilst you cannot be sitting around chanting Om blissfully while you're supposed to be at a meeting, the state of mind that you get in the 20 minutes to half an hour that you spend meditating daily, the idea is to take this state of mind into your daily life. So therefore, and I say 20 minutes to half an hour because by the time you sit down and get yourself comfortable, by the time you make sure you're not going to be distracted by noises, by coffee down in the kitchen, by all sorts of other things, by the time you make sure that your left knee is not hurting or your spine is not twisted, by the time you push away some of those thoughts temporarily that may be disrupting you in your meditation, a good 5 or 10 minutes could have gone by, and it sometimes takes you a little while to get into it. And whilst I have used the word push away those thoughts, for 1 minute, please do not think that you are suppressing those thoughts. If you have thoughts coming up in your meditations that are disturbing you, you need to address them. You need to take 15 minutes later on in the day and take note of what that was. And if it is an issue, you need to make a mental note and follow through with the action to solve it. Because the thoughts and the worries that come up in your meditation when your mind is quiet can often give you a greater insight into ways that you could be making your life better in the future. So there are a countless number of meditation tapes and CDs out there that you can use to learn to meditate. There are groups that you can go to, whichever way works best for you. And meditation, the actual act of sitting there and learning to meditate, is actually learning to concentrate. What you're learning to do is to focus on the CD that you're listening to or the flame that you're watching. You're learning to concentrate better, and that concentration, that spills out into other areas of your waking life so that your concentration becomes better in the projects and the study and the work that you do. So this state of mind, after you concentrate for some time, you go into a state of mind which has an uninterrupted thought towards a given object, and that is the actual meditation. When your mind becomes quiet, in inverted commas, it does not become thoughtless, because it is the nature of the human mind to think. It becomes concentrated on one thought, and that is what gives you the calmness. And then from there, you slip into something called contemplation. Now, contemplation is the continued holding of a thought or an idea for an extended period of time and can go into our waking life. And these three, the actual art of sitting, the concentration, the meditation, and the contemplation, are what lead to a peaceful pattern being set up for you to think clearly, to feel better about the way you're living your life. And I purposely have not touched on the spiritual benefits here, because this particular show is about managing your stress and is not a show on meditation. So having said that, I also do need to say, though, that there are a number of different types of meditation. And if one doesn't suit you, then perhaps another one will. There is pranayama, which is the breathing meditation. There is kundalini, which is meditation on the chakras and working with the energy centers in the body. There is pratyahara, which is a closing off of the senses and a learning to master them. There is yoga nidra, which is a mental relaxation of the physical organs throughout the body, more like a relaxation. There is Raja Yoga, of course, which is the kingly yoga, Raja meaning king, and that is a meditation on a series of mantras. So if you think that you can't meditate, it's possibly because you have not found the right meditation for you to suit your nature, and the meditation has to suit you, otherwise you will not be able to do it accurately. So that is something that we can perhaps explore later on. And for the moment, let me say that if you are stressed out, the easiest way for you to handle your stress quite quickly is to focus on your breathing and to simply make that shallow breathing that you have when you're stressed into a deeper breath. And if you make it into a deeper breath, you will find that the stress will be much alleviated. Another way to handle stress, which is very important, is making sure that you are grounded. Now, what does grounded mean? Grounded means living in the present moment. And a lot of us find that we spend a lot of time worrying about the future or regretting the past. And this is time and energy wasted for the simple reason we are not appreciating the joy of the present moment in our lives. Now, whilst I can sit here quite easily and perhaps say this, those of you that are worriers and daydreamers, I know the problems that you face with this because I work with people with this every day. And believe me, there are many, many tools that you can learn that will teach you to handle your lack of grounding in the present moment. There are exercises, specific exercises that you can do. There are grounding meditations that you can learn with a skilled practitioner. There are energy medicine bark remedies or bush flower remedies that you can take that will affect you emotionally, that will help you stay more in the present moment. So that may be something, if you find you're not staying in the present moment and you're not grounded, that you might like to put on your to-do list for the future to learn that skill of staying in the present moment in terms of your grounding abilities. Other ways to handle stress, some practical tips. I've already mentioned the breathing, taking a break. Is it time that you took a break? Is it time that you had that holiday? Is it time that you perhaps had just a day off, just to do your own thing and drive out into the countryside and just appreciate nature? Take a break from what you're doing. Do you perhaps, as a couple, need a break from the children? As much as we love our children, it is nice to go on a couple date and to perhaps leave the kids with mum and dad overnight and just for one night, every couple of weeks, spend some time together and put some romance back into your relationship. What is it that you're needing to take a break from? Are you perhaps a carer for one of your parents? And do you perhaps need just a little bit of time off? Is there another relative that can come in? Or is there someone from the community respite care that can come and help? Because remember, if you have someone depending on you, no matter how much you love them, if you become ill and you go down and you get sick and you can't be there, you'll be feeling much worse than the little break that perhaps you're going to be taking for a day or two or three just to get yourself back to a recuperative stage so that you can step into your power and be empowered to fulfill those things that you really do want to fulfill. In terms of people that are worriers, let's look at ways that you could perhaps weigh up what you're worrying about. Talking it out with other people. In this case, I would say perhaps not your friends, because your friends are your friends, and whilst they can help you and advise you, they are still coming from an area of their environment and their background, and they're also coming from your background. so because they know you so well. So it is not always an objective opinion. And this is why it's very, very wise to go and see a counselor or practitioner or a psychologist or someone that can help you out, a psychotherapist perhaps, who can help you out in terms of weighing up where you are at with regard to your worries and all those things that are buzzing around your head. I tell people to make a list. Make a list with all your fors and against of whatever you are worrying about. But if you're going to make a list, then perhaps you have to sometimes be a little bit ruthless and come from your head. There are times that we have to make decisions from our head, and there are times that we have to make decisions from our heart. And it's very, very hard to sometimes balance the two and come up with a decision that is right from both angles. And it's very important to weigh up the things that are in your best interests, because remember, your stress is your stress. You need to handle it. And whilst we can talk it out with people and we can weigh it up and we can write our lists, ultimately, it is only us that can make that decision. I also need to speak about getting enough sleep. Getting enough sleep is very, very important when you have a very, very busy, stressful life. And quite often our sleep suffers. Very, very much, because we tend to stay up to do projects that we're working on. We tend to say, oh, look, I've got to go out and go to this function. I'll have a few drinks, and we end up having a late night and then perhaps have to go off to work the next day, or we're obliged to fulfill some commitment the next day. And although we may have had a good night out, we're suffering for it the day after. So getting enough sleep, and for those of you that can't sleep, I cannot stress enough, please do not just lie in bed and roll around and toss and turn. Get out of bed, walk into the lounge room, turn the TV on, watch the most boring show that you can find, have a warm drink, and just sit there in the lounge room. If you find you're worried about things, get that book out and start journaling and get those thoughts out of your head. If it's got to do with work, sit down and make a to-do list for tomorrow and then forget it and go to sleep. Bed is for resting and sleeping and relaxing. It should be a place of comfort. And if you have the TV set in your bedroom, and you may even find, if you're a bad sleeper, that the electrical energy from the television and the noise in the background can often disturb your sleep. So there is a whole strategy for people who can't sleep well. There is a whole strategy for giving you tools and teaching you ways on all levels, not just physically, but energetically, in terms of the electricity in your room and the magnetism in your room and the way that interacts with your body. There are lots of things that can be disturbing your sleep that you're perhaps not even aware of. So there are therapists out there that can help you to learn to sleep better, whether it be meditation and using a meditation to drop off to sleep, which you can do, whether it be hypnotherapy or whether it be some NLP techniques. Have a look around you at all the tools that you can use, apart from the physical things that I mentioned before, that can get you off to have a restful night's sleep. We also need to look at balancing our work and play. Regardless of how busy you are, it is important to take time out every day for yourself. It is important to have a decent lunch hour, minimum of half an hour away from what you're doing, not sitting at your desk, you know, in the same place eating a sandwich. Get out there in the sunshine, get out there perhaps and have a chat with somebody, drink some water, have a nice restful lunch break, and then go back to work. Exercise is another way of handling stress. People tell me they don't have enough time sometimes to exercise. We all have, or hopefully have, a decent weekend, 1 or 2 days, one day absolute minimum, 2 days of a weekend where we should be able to take an hour out to do some exercise, have some fun, go and grab the kids and, you know, throw one of those frisbees like you used to when you were a kid. Go down to the beach and build a sandcastle. Go swimming. Go and do some fun exercise things with your children or with your friends and get some of that spark back into your life. And temporarily, you will, just by doing that, forget your stress for a half an hour and a half. It may still be there as an issue that you need to handle when you come back, but it may also be just enough to give you that break for you to reassess the things in your life and look at them in a different perspective. So these are just some things that you can use to handle your stress on a physical level. And of course, the big one is to separate yourself from the situation. Remember, you can always walk away. I always get a lot of excuses when I say to people, you know, just walk away. And they say, oh, but I can't. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. But think about it. You have two legs. You have a car. And if the situation is really, really bad, then perhaps it is time to walk away. I'm not saying it would be easy to walk away from your stress, whatever the issues are, but I'm saying perhaps it is time. And that involves maybe a huge change in your life. And once again, I can't urge you enough to go and seek out the help that you need from whatever area of life that you need it in and whatever type of practitioner you need to teach you the tools to help you with it. I would now like to spend some time talking again about panic attacks and giving you some practical tips on how to handle panic attacks. I remember an incident where a young lady had called me. She was not a client of mine at the time, and she called me from her office in the hope of making an appointment. She'd left a message on my telephone, and I hadn't had time to get back to her to reply to make an appointment with her. And in the interim, as I was getting my messages, I got a second phone call from her, and here she was in the ladies at work, attempting to fend off a panic attack with her friend beside her because she did not want her boss to know that she was having panic attacks at work because she thought it would have a detrimental effect on her job. So I had this friend that was talking to me on the phone, telling me who this person was, and at the same time, I knew nothing about this girl. And my advice to her was that she should put her hands over her nose and mouth and breathe into her hands and then breathe the carbon dioxide back from her hands deeply into her lungs. And I said, look, just try it a few times, see the effect it has, see if it helps. So her friend instructed her and she did do this, and yes, it did help. And after that, we made an appointment, and of course, you know, from then on, we treated the matter, and it came under her control and the panic attacks got less and less, until they disappeared completely. So this type of scenario occurs for several reasons. Firstly, the overwhelm. Secondly, add to that the anxiety of her not wanting her boss to know what she was experiencing. And unfortunately, we live in the kind of society where some people feel that it will be detrimental to admit to somebody that in some way they're having some problems and some issues. And it is unfortunate that we live in that sort of society where we cannot always have the support that is necessary from people around us, especially in a work environment. Because think about it, you're there 8 hours a day, sometimes 5 days a week, and if you're not supported in that environment and you don't feel supported in that environment, it only adds to the anxiety that you already have. So some tips, first of all, put your hands over your mouth, exhale, and then breathe back the exhaled carbon dioxide into your stomach as deeply as you possibly can and change your breathing. Simply changing your breathing will have a calming effect on your body. Similarly, those of you that have heard about it, Rescue Remedy is excellent in the short term. Rescue Remedy can be bought at the health food store and simply take a few drops when the panic attack is occurring. I would suggest a formula, a bark remedy formula made specifically for your needs, rather than relying on rescue remedy all the time. You can also get lozenges now. So if you have a bit of a scout at the health food stores, you will find there are various forms of rescue remedy available to you. Similarly, learn some relaxation that you can do in the office when you're starting to feel that way, and watch yourself talk. Watch what is going through your head at the time when that panic attack is starting up, and simply tell yourself it doesn't have to be that way. In the short term, it can sometimes avert an attack. Yoga is great, as with any other form of exercise. So have a regular exercise pattern and eat a diet which has perhaps some more protein at lunchtime, giving you that essential nutrient that you need to get you through the afternoon. The good vitamins to help you in this instant: zinc to stimulate your immune system, magnesium to calm down your nervous system, vitamin B complex, St. John's wort is very good for anxiety, as I mentioned before, if you're not on any form of medication, and also some teas, perhaps some chamomile tea or some lemon balm. The herbal teas are very, very good. Some aromatherapy oils, the good ones are geranium and rose. They tend to balance out the hormones. So there are things that you can have on hand, perhaps an aromatherapy oil in your handbag that you can take a sniff of that will just take the edge off the way you're feeling with these panic attacks. At the very beginning of this show, I made a comment about stress, saying that stress is inside, not outside. And I gave you the example of someone driving along the motorway going to work, and it being a different scenario and different thought pattern and different emotions if you were just going to meet your friend at the beach. And I'd like to elaborate on that a little bit now. Our stress, we seem to think it comes from outside us. We have lots of different pressures. We have money pressures. We worry about our families. We worry about a lot of things perhaps that are going on around us, things beyond our control, the state of the world. Well, beyond our control in inverted commas, because every single thing that we do and every single thing that we contribute to the world makes a difference in the world. And what I'd like to say is I'd like to take a look at a little brief analysis of how we feel about our position in the world. We all have a body that is constantly changing. There are thousands of cells in this body that are mutating, that are undergoing changes, some are dying, new ones are coming about. And we always take the situation that we are in at the time as being permanent. We may perhaps know in the back of our mind that time changes everything, that life moves on, that we heal, that jobs come, that jobs go, that relationships change. But at the time that we are in the middle of something, whether it be an issue or whether it be something really good that's happening in our lives, we take that to be permanent, that it has an element of permanence to it. And at that time, we forget about the change. So whatever is going on in our body, whatever discomfort we are feeling at the time, we take it to be permanent, because we are to some extent locked into that permanent moment. So we seem to discount the fact that the cells are changing, and we seem to discount the fact that with it, our circumstances, our issues, and our physical lives are changing. Let's also have a look at our emotional stability and our emotional lives. Our emotions, they sometimes change like the wind. One minute you can be really happy, then you hear some sad news from a friend, and you become really sad. So our emotions are something that change quite a bit, especially if we're sitting down to meditate. We notice emotions come up and then emotions disappear. Similarly, our thoughts change. We can have positive thoughts one moment and negative thoughts the next. So in this body, with these emotions, with these thoughts, this thing that I call me, that I take to be myself, which is my body, my emotions, my intellect, this is what I take to be me and who I am. In this being, there is a lot of change happening. And all these changes have a lack of permanence because they're constantly changing. Where is the stability in your body? You know there are cells being born and dying all the time. But where is the one thing in your body that doesn't change? There is nothing. Where is the one thing in your emotions that doesn't change? You may build on to loving feelings. You may build on to kindness and other positive emotions and similarly negative emotions. But the emotions are still changing. Where is the emotion that doesn't change? Where is the thoughts that don't change? You may enter a zone of meditation where you focus on one thought for a period of time, but where are the thoughts that are never changing in your waking life or in your dreams? When you're sleeping, your dreams constantly change and you fluctuate from waking to dreaming to deep sleep. Where is the lack of change? Is there any? The answer's no. Nothing that I have mentioned at the moment has got any permanence to it. What is it about you that is permanent, though? And I think I touched on this in one of my other talks. What is permanent about you? There is something that's permanent because you wake up in the morning and you're still the same person. I wake up in the morning and I'm still Janetta. I'm not Josephine down the road. I still do things the way Janetta does them. There are certain habits and characteristics that are typically Janetta characteristics, just as you have characteristics that are typically you. So there is something in there, in you, that doesn't change. That which does not change is the essence of you. It's the real you. So what shall we call it? We can't call it your body, because everything changes in your body. It's not your emotions. It's not your mind. Is it your intuition? Not even that. No matter how intuitive we are, we get different spurts of intuitive knowledge. What about the life force? Undeniably, you are alive. Pinch yourself if you have any doubts. But you are alive. There is life in you. There is breath in you. There is life in you. Despite the fact you may be sleeping or in deep sleep or even in a coma, whilst you are alive, there is a life force in you. Some people call it the soul. Some people call it energy. Some people call it life force. It's sort of irrelevant what you call it because it all means the same thing. Now, if I was to come and somehow magically take that life force out of you, your body would be dead. Would there be any emotions or thoughts there? No. So it is the life force that is keeping your body, your emotions, and your thoughts going. So let's just have a look at this. The life force is the only thing about you that has a permanence. But there's a little bit more than that too. A moment ago, I said that we all do things a certain way. We all are creatures of habits and we have certain patterns. There's a name for that pattern. It's called psychological continuity. Pretty big name. That continuity of what you do psychologically that makes you you. Psychological continuity. That is the pattern that you identify with that makes you you. Psychological continuity. And it has an element of permanence to it. However, without the life force, There is no permanence to it, because once the life force is gone, even the psychological continuity is not there. So given all these things and the lack of permanence of even your body, your mind, your emotions, my question is, where's the stress? Where's the stress that affected you physically yesterday? Where's the stress that affected you emotionally 3 years ago? Where's the negative thinking that you had about that job 2 jobs ago? It's gone. It's changed. So where's the stress? The stress is simply the way you identified with the situation at the time, be it physical, emotional, or mental, as in thinking. If we change the perspective of the way we identify with what is stressing us out at the time, then it must happen that our lives change, that our patterns change, and that our stresses change. It must happen that the issues in our life start to fade away and become something else. This is a very important thing to know. But not only to know, to remember. Why remember? Because imagine when you're going through an issue, if you can remember this, what we have just talked about, in the height of that issue, in the height of the drama, in the height of the crisis, if you can remember, this is not permanent. This will pass. This will also pass. It must change. The law of cause and effect says that it must change. For every cause, there is effect, and that effect dies to give rise to a new cause for something new. And in that way, our lives flow on. So all our stressful issues will dissolve into nothing. And all those stressful issues are supported by me, that life force. That is what I am. I am not the changes that are occurring in my body. They die and change and grow and new ones are born. I am not my emotions that change like the wind. I'm not my thoughts, be they positive or negative. I am the one that is behind those, like the screen behind the movie. If we can think of our lives like this, then they take on a different perspective. Stress takes on a different perspective. And our living takes on a different perspective. So therefore, this is why I talk about stress-free living. Stress-free living does not mean that we are never going to get stressed out. Because we are human, we must identify with our emotions. We must at some stage identify with our thoughts. We must identify with our bodies. And at that point that we do identify, that's when the stress occurs. When you're identified with the pain in your body. If the dentist is working on your tooth and you are thinking about what he is doing with your tooth, then at that particular moment, you will find there'll be pain in your tooth. If you are a meditator and you have the capability to disassociate with the pain in your tooth and just let him do his work, you will pretty much find that after maybe 10 minutes, the filling has been done or the teeth have been cleaned and everything is over. And even though there might be a little bit of after pain, most of the pain has disappeared. We are in this body. We are in control of this body to a certain extent. We can choose to identify with what is going on in the body or disassociate from it. In the same way, we can choose to disassociate emotionally or mentally. I am not advocating here for one moment that we disassociate from our negative stuff and we push it down. Because if we do that, you can be sure in 3 or 4 years' time, if not sooner, it will come back to bite you. Whatever we suppress and do not work through, it will come back to bite us. Why? because we have disassociated and pushed it aside. That's not acting with responsibility to handle our issues. So I'm not advocating that. What I am advocating is action to tackle our issues. And because we are human and we do react, to notice how we react and to in turn handle our reactions, to gain some sort of control over our reactions so that our lives become stress-free. And this is how I actually came to have my business, Stress-Free Management. So it is important to discriminate where we are at the time in our lives and how we want to handle that part of our lives and how we can disassociate from what is going on enough to make the correct decisions as to what we have to do to rectify our issues. For all this, one needs training. One needs training to become empowered into how to step into their lives and take control of that. Why do we need training? Because most of the time we're flat out there trying to live our lives and sidestep this issue and that issue and put into action some of the things we have learnt, and we're just too busy. We live in a very, very busy world. So what I'm saying is, if you want to have a stress-free life in as much as you possibly can, you need to make space in your life to learn the tools that will teach you to be empowered, that will teach you to handle your issues, that will teach you to start to have the life that you want to have. And why shouldn't you? Tell me for one moment why you shouldn't have the life that you really want to have. You deserve it. And how much you deserve it depends on how you feel about yourself. And that's a matter perhaps for another show and perhaps another area of conversation. So today we've looked at a lot of different things. We've looked at different ways to handle stress. We've done a little bit of an analysis of what stress is. We've looked at different ways to handle issues. We've looked at ways to disassociate temporarily enough from our issues and from our physical body and emotions and thoughts to be able to get a handle on what is going on in our lives. And we have looked at natural and medical means of how we can get our head around the stressful things that are happening in our lives. So how are you now going to use this information to make a difference in your life? What are you going to do with this information? Let's start by looking perhaps at your weekend and taking an hour every week out of your weekend to sit down and brainstorm what you can do to make a difference in your life, to put some positive thinking into your life, to put some positive action into your life, to take some space for yourself. How can you make a difference for your life? And after making a difference for your life, how can that be like the pebble with the ripples in the pond to reverberate out to the people around you that you love and that you touch with each day? How can you use this information today in a positive way to translate it into action, to make a difference to yourself and to those around you? And having touched on that difference, I need to now encourage you also, if you haven't already, to go to thedifference.com and go and have a look at the website and see what is happening with the Difference radio shows, what is happening with the Difference TV. Signing off for yet another Saturday afternoon from The Difference, and hoping that in some way today's show has given you input to perhaps just make a small difference to your life. Blessings.
Bye for now from the Difference Radio Network. Thank you for joining us in opening humanity's heart and touching the lives of 6 billion people.